Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how about that? Blog Talk Radio, Daily Shot Media, Daily Shot Talks, live right here on YouTube, live on blogtalkradio.com. Interactive with you, 3 p.m. in the East on a Friday. 516-387-1866 is the telephone number to call in. I am Barry Gadboys in the Western Mass studio. Dan Gadboys is with us in the Capital Region studio. And Cameron Robbins is live from the North Shore studio. What's up, fellas?
Yo.
Back at it for another show, huh? Dan, how you doing today? Hey, Dan, if you could do me a favor on the YouTube, tilt your camera down a little bit, buddy. Tilt down. Lose a little headroom there. Oh, boy. This is a big operation, isn't it? If you're listening to this on the internet, radio, you're missing what's happening right now on the Daily Shot Media YouTube channel, which is Dan trying to tilt down his camera, not having a lot of success. It's actually, I think you tilted it up.
So,
you got a super going through your
worse.
Mouth. Just keep going.
That's
some phone books you can sit on.
All right, we got a big show today. We have a big guest coming up at about 20 past the hour. Our friend, the awards ace, Eric Weber, is going to join us live from California to talk about the state of cinema, the future of movies, what's going on now, where is it all headed. We got a lot to talk about with Eric. That's coming up at 3:20. On the other side of that, we're going to talk a little bit about sports. Are we ready to see sports come back, even if it means there are no fans? That's something to think about as well. But I want to kick it off, as we have done now for the last 7 or 8 weeks of our life, haven't been anything to talk about except coronavirus, COVID-19. And two topics that I want to tee up. I know Cameron's excited. It's his favorite thing to do is to talk about COVID, right?
So excited.
Dan, do you love coronavirus?
I like Corona better, but.
All right, I want to get some thoughts on two things. There's two topics that I want to tee up. I want to get some feedback from you guys. I would love to have people call in, and feel free to tell me that I'm an idiot. I don't mind at all. 516-387-1866 at Daily Shot Talks is where to find us on Twitter. Two big developments that I want to talk about. I have very thick head. Is that what you said?
Yeah, basically.
Exactly. All right, two topics that I want to tee up. Number one, yesterday, big protests in the state of Michigan, protesters storming, as they say, storming the Michigan Capitol. Now, anybody who's been listening to this show or following me on Twitter knows I kind of agree with them. I think that the governor of Michigan has been grossly over her head. She is power hungry. She's been a little bit ridiculous in her response to this coronavirus thing. So I agree with the protesters. However, what the protest story has turned into is an angry mob of people with guns storm the Michigan State Capitol.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to say armed, but you didn't say it. But thank you for bringing it up. Yes, they were definitely armed.
Does that mean anything? Is that really here or there? I don't think so. But if you're going to do this stuff and think that you're going to have any kind of a positive impact.
Nothing. I mean, you're carrying a weapon with you.
Who doesn't?
You're doing it for a purpose.
I would say a lot of people don't carry a weapon with you.
So I actually agree.
It's illegal in a lot
of states. It's not illegal in Michigan. I looked it up yesterday because I was curious.
Although,
it's not. It is
not government buildings. Are you allowed to bring in weapons?
Yeah,
not
prohibited according to Michigan law. At least somebody's happy to correct me, but I don't believe they broke the law. Now,
so you're saying
they can
bring guns into the government offices, government buildings.
There's no prohibition on that in Michigan state law. I don't know if there's local regulations in Lansing. Maybe. I don't know. There's also a gray area whether or not you need a carry permit to carry a firearm openly in Michigan. So it's sort of like what's happened in some states. The laws have gotten a little bit conflicted. I'll tell you this. I think two things. From a broader perspective, I think if you open carry a weapon like that, you're doing it because you want attention. And I think that's foolish, first of all.
Sure.
I think that you should be well-armed at all times. But you shouldn't do it like that. You're calling for attention to yourself. And in the course of this situation
–
yeah, well, they're getting the attention they wanted because they absolutely impeached their own point.
Hello?
Yeah, okay. They didn't do themselves any favors. Look, everybody, the media covered this. They showed up. They stormed the Capitol. They actually got some response from the legislature, who forced the governor to take some unilateral action today that I think makes her look even worse. But the reality is that they hurt their own position by doing this, and they should know that the media is going to seize on the absolute worst of what these people do. It was totally, totally predictable that they would be made to look like idiots for it. They played right into it, and they shouldn't have done it. That's my opinion.
You think somebody's going to disagree with you?
I'm waiting. I don't know. Are you guys going to tell me I'm right?
Wait, you're saying the protesters were wrong?
I'm saying that I think that they are right to protest. I think that they're wrong if they thought they were going to make any headway by doing it that way.
You sound very reasonable right now. I'm very confused.
I'm the voice. I didn't see this.
I'm the voice of reason.
Yeah, I mean, Barry, I'm flabbergasted. This is great.
I'm a big two-way guy. No, I'm a big Second Amendment guy. Look, I believe that if you have enough ammunition, you should buy twice as much. Buy two times as much as what you have right now, because it's not enough.
Protesting is the American way.
Absolutely. And by the way, if these people were protesting something else, the media might go out of their way to ignore the people with the guns, ignore the people who misbehaved, and try not to paint it in that light. But showing up to this with a gun means you understand that you're going to have everybody who's there painted with the same brush, and you're all going to look stupid.
You're going to have a crosshair on you, pun intended.
Totally stupid. All right. Well, I guess we agree.
So move on. No, but what's the outcome? They didn't get anything done.
Well, they did. They did. I mean, the Michigan – so in a little bit of a nuance here, but in Michigan, the legislature has to agree to allow the governor to extend those types of emergency orders. The legislature did not do that, which would have meant that the emergency order expired today. However, the governor issued an executive order essentially overriding the legislature, overriding the representatives of the people, and maybe creating some sort of a court showdown later where the judicial branch will weigh in and decide if the legislature gets a say or not.
That's a little totalitarian right there. I
Well, very, very, so to add to this, if those protesters were black, would they have been shot?
No, I don't believe so. I think you got to, although nobody wants you to believe it, there are a lot of people of all colors and backgrounds who are Second Amendment supporters and who enjoy their right to self-defense and self-preservation. The media might want you to believe that it's a white thing, but it's not. People of all backgrounds get the protection of the Second Amendment. Amendments 1 through 9, everybody gets them.
When an African American walks into a courthouse with a rifle, nobody reacts. It gets the same amount of reaction, same response.
I think it would get the same reaction that a 6-foot-tall guy with a beard down to his waist and a Gadsden flag who also looks nuts. Yeah, I think that those two people, if you're carrying a rifle, you know, it's strapped across your chest, you're not pointing anybody. Yeah, I think you get the same reaction. Now, if you point that rifle at somebody, I think you're going to get shot. I don't care what color you are. But yeah, why? So you think that the police would just have shot an African American person who showed up to this event?
No, I don't think that at all. I just want to see you get riled up, and I figured that was the safest way to do it.
Well done.
Here's how to get him riled up. Do you know what they're not going to do? They're not going to do this in California. Even though California is doing pretty much the same thing, you're not going to see protests like this in California.
I disagree. Wait, stay tuned
in
Orange County,
so?
And let's see what happens.
Well, Orange, we're talking a little tiny bit.
Well, wait, because my man Bill Malugan at Fox 11 got a hold of an order from the governor, a draft order from the governor the night before last that said Governor Newsom is going to close down the beaches in California unilaterally, state parks and beaches. Once word of that got out, Newsom, who is both vain and not terribly bright, changed that order and shut down only the Orange County beaches. And I think people in Orange County are going to be rightfully pissed. So I think there's going to be some organization in Orange County around that.
You know,
or they're just going to drive down to down to San Diego County, Monica. I guess.
I mean, that's a very Trump-like thing to do. He's, you know, he's like the Democratic Trump over there. I mean, that's very petty.
Can we all agree that there's a lot of people who are kind of drunk on power right now, regardless of what you think?
Sure.
There's a lot of people that are really loving this.
Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it.
Exactly. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you. All right. One other thing I want to get to.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead. You got some Dateline California.
It just says no California white beaches are going to shut down, and then
correct.
Newsom went to narrow the closure to just Orange County, which is just And now they're going to.
What?
Well.
We really got to work on your audio situation.
Is it so bad?
Oh, it's.
Are you on a you on a baby monitor?
Yeah.
I'm on. I don't. Are you on the left?
I don't see the can that you usually talk into. I thought it was going to be better.
Listen. I think the guys at Fox 11 who got a hold of that draft memo headed off this action by Newsom to shut down the beaches.
Well,
but,
now there's going to be legal action. Huntington Beach and Dana Point. They're going to start filing injunctions if that was to go forward. So I don't know. These are beach communities, and their livelihood depends on them. So I don't know. It's the whole thing again that you like to talk about is
the economic suicide cult that's being led
Correct.
By people like Gavin Newsom. Yeah, 30 million people out of work. We're on a rocket train to the Great Depression, and these people are out there worried about who's standing too close to each other on the beach.
I mean, you can really get some nice social distancing at the beach. So I don't know.
Yeah, once I take my shirt off, people usually scatter. So that's me, I guess. But
I can confirm that.
I think it's both of you.
All right,
But hold on. By the way, Dan, you sound much better.
Much better. I've been working on this, trying to figure this out.
All right, there you go.
Are you on your phone at this point or not?
It's a Bluetooth with a phone and an earphone.
I'm on a house phone, no less.
Wow. You're on
the
copper
with a
line.
House phone left.
One other thing, because we do have Eric Weber coming up. So breaking news right before we went on the air here, Charlie Baker in Massachusetts has now mandated that anybody who enters an essential business or anybody who rides public transit must wear a mask. So my question is, how badly does Charlie Baker want the police to beat the crap out of some guy to pull him off the MTA like what happened in Philadelphia? Is the goal to get people shot or just beat up? What's the goal?
Barry, what is it with your mask boner?
Yes,
you are so opposed to masks.
I was just going
to
say.
It is a very small.
Wait. First and foremost, it is a very, very small inconvenience for you to wear a mask. Incredibly insignificant for you to put one on if you're riding public transportation or going anywhere with the public. It is a small inconvenience.
It blows my mind because you are the biggest germaphobe I know.
Exactly.
You sanitize everything.
Right anyway.
But wear a mask? Nope, not doing it.
It's not happening for two reasons. I'll give you two reasons. Number one, the number one reason is because I don't want to. Okay, that's the first reason. But the second reason is this is a psychological operation. The government has done a 180-degree switch on this mask thing. So they went from telling you not to wear any – they're ineffective. You're going to play with your race. Don't wear a mask. Only sick people should wear masks, to now telling you should take your old underwear and cut it up and put it over your face. It's not going to do anything except scare you and condition you to believe that this should go on forever. Thank you for taking my job and putting me out of work. I'm so scared. Now I have to wear my underwear on my face. It does next to nothing. Okay, and if you were willing to go on public transit before, if you rode the New York subway in the middle of the night, or God forbid you got on the MTA, you're probably getting urinated on by some bum. You were at more risk before than you are now. They're cleaning these things every day. They didn't clean them but once a year before.
Yeah, I will say, living in New York, the shocking part is Cuomo coming out yesterday saying that they needed to figure out a way to sanitize and clean the trains, which
blood
is
on
gross
his hands.
That there's not a system for that.
Blood on his hands.
Listen, I think Baker, he's doing everything he can because this state is extremely volatile right now with this COVID. It's like the third highest state right now. I mean, the numbers are skyrocketing. So he's getting out in front. I don't think it's a power move. I think it's literally he has to do something to save face. If he sat there with his hands and sat on his hands and more people start dying, people are going to get mad at him for not doing enough. So people are getting mad at him.
Well,
for
people
doing
should get mad
much?
At him. You got a little more than 50% of people who have died in this state died locked in nursing homes. So I can't wait for the governor or somebody to take some accountability for that.
I mean, there's at least 62,000 people that have this disease right now.
Sure, absolutely. Look, the numbers of people who have this disease, I think, is going to be mind-blowing by the time that we can really figure it out. But when you look at the Massachusetts dashboard, you could say a whole bunch of other states, there's a tremendous amount of data out there. People who are dying from this, more than half of the people who have died are from nursing homes. And the great preponderance of people who are in the hospital are well over the age of 65.
But there's other people that are in nursing homes. There's staff, there's nurses, there's people who clean the toilets at nursing homes, and they have a right to go out and ride public transportation like everybody else. So it's a cascading effect. So if one person's not wearing a mask and works at a nursing home, then they just infected 10 people by coughing. Maybe they didn't quite get their, you know, mouth into their elbow. And you're sitting next to them and you didn't wear your mask. Now you're infected.
Because they coughed into my mouth? How did I get infected?
No. They miss coughing, you know, into their elbow slightly. Particles in the air. You inhale it. Now you have COVID.
I think that you've kind of oversimplified some transmissions here. If you look at I think that you have.
That's how transmission happens. I read Stephen King, The Stand. That's how it happens.
I will say that a friend of mine posted on Facebook the other day. He's riding I think it was the Red Line, and he's in an empty train car. The whole car is empty, right?
Beautiful.
And he sits down, and one other guy comes on. Where does the other guy sit? Right across the aisle from him. Like the whole.
That's a herd mentality.
Empty.
They don't want to.
Right?
Nobody
wants to
be alone.
From the North Shore.
Hey.
I mean, before COVID, you would be like, dude, give me some space. This whole car is empty. What is wrong with people?
Well, I mean.
So you're going to, if you go out, you're going to wear a mask.
Of course. I'm going to wear a mask. I have two little children who might not get infected, of course, but I also have a wife. So if we both get infected, I don't want to be in a hospital on a ventilator with my kids parentless.
When your kid turns three, you're going to try to keep a mask on them while they're outside? Because everybody over two has got to wear one, according to Uncle Charlie.
Hopefully by that time, this will be over. But if that's the case, then I'm fine with never going outside again. I got everything I need.
You were fine with that before.
I'm the guy who doesn't wear a seatbelt. I'm the guy who is total civil disobedience. But wearing a mask is not that hard.
Wearing
it
a seatbelt is not that hard.
I know, but it takes no effort, Barry. It really does. It takes no effort, and you'll be in accordance with the new law, and you can go to establishments.
It's not a law. Okay?
Are you going to get fined?
It depends what town you're in, I guess.
Please pull a video of you saying it's not a law. I need that.
It's not a law. It's not a law. If the governor orders you to do something, it's not a law. The legislature makes laws, or they used to before we all crapped our pants.
Is this an executive law? Is this like an executive order that he's giving, right? So then, therefore, he can bypass?
Here again, because Charlie Baker, let's just say he's not known for the testicular fortitude. It's not an order. It's an advisory, and he's left it up to the cities and towns to decide what they're going to do with it. So
I can't wait for you to get you're going to get shamed out of your gourd. It's going to be hysterical. I want you to walk around with your phone.
He's going to eat all of it.
I know. Walk around with your phone. I want to see all the videos of you being shamed for going and getting your pizza at the takeout and being shamed for not wearing a mask.
So wait, how come you guys all weren't wearing masks before? Why are they so important now? This has been going on for 7 weeks. How come masks are important now?
Look, I'm not pro-mask or anti-mask, but I'm also not going to put the Lowe's store manager in a situation where he's going to ask me to leave because I won't wear a mask.
I'm not going to Lowe's. So.
No.
No, wait. So how come, if this is so important, how come we weren't doing it before?
Before COVID or before somebody said you had to?
No, a month ago when the government was telling you don't wear a mask, don't do it. All you people weren't out there saying
PPE shortages.
Right.
Well, I don't think there was a concern about you putting your old underwear on your face, which is effectively what they're telling you to do. and you guys are all saying, "Well,
my
we got to do
or
it. I mean, for safety."
really dictates whether I'll do it.
What you got? It depends what you got available, really.
All right. Well, so my family is in a unique position. For some reason, we had a box of N95 masks, actual real high quality masks. For some reason, just when this whole thing broke out, I looked in the closet. I said, "Why do we have this box full of the highest grade surgical masks you can get?" Somehow, so we donated a couple to the local fire department, and we have enough for the family. So we had them, and I'm in a good spot to where I can wear that and feel comfortable and take no effort by going like this, go to a grocery store and feel a little bit safer, have my wife feel a little bit safer and the family feel safer about me going out and getting the necessities that we need and not having to really worry about contracting anything. Peace of mind. What does that cost? That's you can't put a price on that. Except for putting
let me put it to you this way. If putting on that mask kept you safe, you wouldn't have to social distance at the same time. But it doesn't keep you safe because they're still telling you to stay 6 feet away from people.
If wearing a seatbelt meant that I wouldn't die in a car accident, I could speed.
You're making my point. You can't do either. You're making my point.
So you should do both. You should stay under the speed limit and wear a seatbelt. You should social distance and wear a mask.
Double protection.
Putting your seatbelt on protects you statistically in a crash, whether you're going 65 or 75. They don't say wear a seatbelt and go 20 because you're still in danger. You still go full speed.
If you're in a 20-mile-per-hour zone, they do.
If you wear a mask, you're not any more protected than you were before.
I can't believe you're making me argue for masks.
Listen, it's like wearing a condom with your wife. It's just a little extra layer of protection.
Sorry,
two, whatever. All right, listen, if you guys want to
somebody call in and tell Barry he's an idiot.
Yeah, maybe it's
a given.
Yeah, what's your wife? Bring your wife in. What does she thinks that you're fine not wearing a mask? She's happy with it?
You understand that my wife probably thinks that I'm an idiot more than anybody because she listens to this stuff more than anybody. So you already know. I don't know where she stands on it. I'm not going to speak for her.
Ask your wife where she stands on it.
I'm not going to speak for her in this forum. She could pick up the phone and call.
Did she tell you to leave without
a
mask?
Listen, time you won't say anything.
Yeah, right. Is Megan openly saying, you know, just go. You don't need a mask.
You don't need a mask, honey. You're fine.
My wife is not telling me to put a mask on. I can tell you that. I mean,
that says enough.
All right. Well, listen, you guys. I hope that we can all feel safe when the government says that you should start wearing gloves. You'll do that, and whatever else you're going to do. Congratulations. You'll all be safe. Enjoy your safety.
I mean, I'll start feeling concerned when they tell us to start living underground. Then I'll start feeling concerned. Right now,
they have effectively told you to do that now. I mean,
no, a mask is not an inconvenience. I can go out, get Five Guys burgers and fries, please sponsor us. I can go out and get that if it means wearing a mask. I'm happy to do it.
How about 30 million unemployed? Is that an inconvenience?
That's a little more than an inconvenience. Sure, of course, but
My wife, by the way, if you would like an update, just texted me and said that I'm an idiot. So,
oh God,
if you were looking for an update on that,
love her.
So,
love her.
So there you go. That's great. Hey, listen, that's great. If you guys feel safe, please enjoy your feeling of safety.
Why not?
Again, I'm not pro mask. I just don't see the point in fighting it.
I think if you had a 3-year-old, you'd probably see the point. Are you going to send your 3-year-old to daycare in a mask when daycares reopen? How's that going to go?
I would assume by the time daycares reopen, we'll be wearing masks.
June 29th, right?
You could assume that, but I mean, you would also assume that 4 weeks ago you were not supposed to wear one, and now you are supposed to. So, you know, I don't know. I guess consistency doesn't really matter anymore.
It's a very fluid situation, and you seem to not be rolling with the punches very well on it.
He hasn't rolled with the punches in 35 years.
It's been longer than that.
No, when you were 3, you were probably rolling a little bit, and then when you hit 4, you're like throwing down your toy saying, F this, I'm going to my own path.
That's a good point that you bring up, though, because we're all supposed to roll with a bunch of. So a couple weeks ago, we were supposed to flatten the curve and make sure that hospitals were not going to be overwhelmed. Now we're supposed to just do this until a vaccine or the virus is stopped or whatever. We're not flattening the curve anymore. The flat curvers have moved on to the mask wearers and the do this foreverers. So you're right. I'm not rolling with the punches because the punches have been BS.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Andy, are you out there?
Mandy.
We're hoping we're gonna have our main man Eric Weber jump on the line with us here in a few minutes from California, because we do want to talk about what's the future looks like for Hollywood and for movies, the future of the cinema, the future for some theaters. It's a lot of interesting inside baseball about what is going on in the world of movies. And I, you know, although we don't have Eric on the line yet, Cam, I'm thinking that maybe we should just move in that direction and talk about what's cooking.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm not going to say I'm a bigger expert than Eric. I think he's as good as you get out there, but I might be right behind him. So feel free to, I can answer anything you want.
Well, what is the story? Cause we were talking about this last night a little bit. The big story seems like it is, what's going on with Universal Pictures? What is the deal with Universal?
They have effectively decided to release all their new films video on demand, VOD. So, you know, it's like you said, inside baseball. So,
Cam, I want to hold you there for one second, because I want to go out to the Daily Shot Line, where I believe that the awards ace himself, Eric Weber, is with us. Eric, you on the line there?
Yes, good talking to you, boys. Boy, it's been a long time. Goodness gracious.
What is up, buddy?
Oh, my God, how many years? It's been years. I mean, we talk on Twitter, but we have not talked in person since what NECN was like, what, 14, 15? 14, I think.
14.
Oh,
you know,
I think longer ago
14?
Than that for
13?
Me. Yeah, it's been a while, man.
Man.
It's been forever. I know. I think back, like, in the last few years, obviously, have just flown, and I'm like, man, when was that NECN and doing the final cut and all that stuff?
That's right, the final cut.
You had a film review show on New England Cable News, and it was a big hit. And then you've made quite a name for yourself out there in Los Angeles, my friend. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, it's you know what though, it's slow. You know, it's like anything. You have to just build, and people start to trust what you say, and then you gain a loyal audience, and then it just kind of builds, you know, by the day and by the season. And I think when I started Awards Ace, it was just like, it was a natural extension. So I love the Oscars. I know a lot about the Oscars. So let's go ahead and combine that with criticism, and you can have this, you know, matrix that is that, you know, what you're talking about, and you can assess films and decide if they're going to be contenders for Oscars or not.
Yeah. So Eric, give us a little background. Tell us what you're doing right now, and tell us a little bit about Awards Ace and sort of what your whole steel is all about. What's going on?
Yeah. So, okay, so I'm a member of the Broadcast Film Critics, and I've been a member for how many years now? Since I was at NECN, so it's almost coming up on a decade. And essentially what that is that's Critics' Choice. You guys are familiar with that show, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's an award show, obviously, with a lot of broadcast film critics that are involved, and they, you know, give their reviews on films. And so I've been a member of that for many years, and when I moved back out here to L.A., because there's no place like LA. I mean, I just love it out here.
No.
I can't live anywhere else. I mean, I just can't. I couldn't. That's why I got out of news. I said, I can't live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, no,
I don't exist
you.
There. You know, it's just not. Yeah, I'll tell you this. The only city that I actually didn't mind living in was it was Boston. I mean, that was the only city that I lived in that wasn't L.A. that I was like, you know what, I can hang out here because it's, you know, you have culture there. You have a very good film community. You have the things that I'd love to have, and it's a big city. You know, Charlotte, North Carolina, God bless, it's just not a big city. It's just not, it's not cultural. It's not with it. It doesn't have an art scene. I mean, it's a very small art scene. So when you're in a city like that, you're just like, you know, let's get out to LA. So I finally said, I'm moving back out here. And ever since, I've just been, you know, listen, every day I wake up out here in LA and I just say, this is where I want to be. I don't ever want to go anywhere else. I don't want to get on a plane, obviously not now, but anytime. this is home, you know? So yeah, I usually see about, average of two to five films a year, a week, I should say. And then it's just a matter of, you know, getting thoughts out. Tweets are really everything now, as you guys know. It's not even about a long form review.
No,
it's
your currency, really. Let's be honest. It's basically your currency.
It's exactly what it is. It's you saying as unfiltered as you can be, because I think, you know, when you talk about film criticism, there's a lot of critics out there who have agendas, and I hate agendas, man. I am not an agenda guy. I'm a Libra. I am a straight. Scales have to be balanced. I go into a movie and I say, this is it's on its merits, right? Whatever the film right. is, it doesn't matter who made it. It doesn't matter what studio it came from. It doesn't matter who's in the film. If the film succeeds at what it's trying to do, and every film obviously is trying to do something different, then it's a success. And I think that's how you grade it ultimately.
Well, that's a little bit of your journalism background right there too.
It absolutely is you know, when I was doing, you know, TV news, everything had to be, you know, listen, I'm on the fence. I'm not a CNN guy. I'm not a Fox News guy, but I do love the phrase fair and balanced, because it just essentially is everything that I am. I mean, I try to go in and look at a film and say, let's go in just unfiltered, objective as heck, and look at this and decide if it is able to accomplish what they set out to accomplish. And that's, if you go in with that mindset, that makes you a good film critic. And I don't think there's not a lot of good film critics. I'll be honest with you. There just aren't.
There's a lot of them are pushing agendas. A lot of them are pushing, you know, a sort of leaning a little bit to the left a little bit with, you know, let's take the Joker for an instance, the anti-violence, and, you know, let's shut this movie down. It's going to ruin society. A lot of that was coming from critics.
Oh, no question. And you know, that's one of my pinned tweets, is one of the guys out here for Hollywood Reporter, the awards guy, he's, you know, said something like, he saw it really early and said,
yeah,
hey, you know, it's a good movie, but I worry about what it's going to do to society. And I'm like, give me a break. You know, why are we having this discussion now about Joker when we could have had it with John Wick? We could have had it with any number of extremely violent films that literally glorify guns. And
right.
we just give them a pass. But then when a
right.
guy comes up who obviously it's a troubling issue, but so was Silence of the Lambs. I mean, give me a break. I mean, we can't live. Or here's my other issue. At the end of the day, here's the thing. I hate when people select certain things to push agenda. So let's attack Joker, but we're going to leave this alone. No, if you're going to attack one thing, you've got to attack it exactly the same way. You can't just pick one thing and go after it. That's not good. That's not being a good journalist for one. And it's certainly not being a good critic either. It's both things you fail at.
Absolutely. Well, Barry was talking a little bit about.
Yeah, I'm into this sort of the hot topic. I actually had sort of missed. I've done nothing but think about and talk about coronavirus for like 7 weeks. And I was texting with Cam, right? Exactly. I'm texting with Cam and Dan last night. And Cam asked me about, well, what do you think about the AMC thing? And I'm going, what AMC thing? What are you talking about? So if you can, Eric, tee up the situation that's breaking down between theaters and studios right now.
Well, as you know, the studios need to make money. So they're sitting on films that should have been released over the past 6-7 weeks, such as Trolls World Tour. And they're sitting on them saying, what are we going to do with this? Because it was supposed to be in theaters early, you know, whatever it was, early April.
Maybe.
And we're sitting on it, right? So it's like, how can we take advantage of everyone sitting at home, and certainly with families, and price this thing at the right point, VOD, to have families purchase it at, what, $20, I think it was, and then they can recoup a lot of that money. Now, they're not going to make as much money, even though it did very well. They said something like $50 million for that weekend. That's good, but here's the reality of it. Theatrical gives you theatrical, right? So let's say that opens with $35, $40 for Trolls, maybe less, $30. But then it's going to do that, obviously, week after week, and then you're going to get the home video on the back end. Now you lose all the theatrical. So I think this is all AMC. And here's the thing, AMC got pissed off, obviously, because they need people to come to support them and sit down in their seats and order their popcorn and all that stuff. And if you don't have content, obviously they're not even open now, but when they do reopen, the last thing they want is movies going directly to VOD, right? They don't want a movie that's going to show on their screens to be at home on your TV. They've been fighting that for years. That's one of the reasons Netflix has had an issue trying to get their movies on movie screens. Netflix is like, listen, we'll let you show The Irishman for like 2 weeks, and then we're going to put it on Netflix. And AMC's like, no, you've got to give us, I think it's a, it's like 2 month window. I forget exactly what the window is, but it's a long period of time. It's two, maybe it's 12 weeks.
It's, I think it's 90 days. 90 days.
Is that okay? Yeah, there you go. So 90 days, and then you're looking at, you know, at the end of that 90 days, then you can have it show up on Netflix. But that's the reason why Netflix movies aren't in a lot of theaters, because AMC won't do it, Regal won't do it. And that's what AMC's doing. They're saying, hey, listen, we're not going to show any Universal movies if you keep doing this. It's like going to end. When this ends, they're not going to do that. They're going to go back to theatrical. And I think theatrical is going to bounce back faster than everyone says it. Everyone thinks it's going to take years.
I hope so.
It's not. It's going to take a movie people want to go see. That's what it's going to take.
So do you think that Universal, I mean, why couldn't they just say during this, you know, the stay-at-home order for a lot of these states, we're going to release this VOD? Why come out and say, for the foreseeable future, let's say. I mean, I don't know exactly what their statement was, but it's sort of like when things can go back to normal, we'll put them back in theater. But they made about $77 million on VOD. So not short change. It's pretty good, $77 million. And they made the rest up for a total of $153 million. The rest of that came from theater. So, you know, some theaters are open, but a majority of these big states, California, Massachusetts, New York, stay-at-home order. So you're not going to the theater. So can this only be for the next 3 months, you think? Or, like you said, do you think Universal will eventually say, you know, yeah, it was just for the stay-at-home order, we'll go back to the theater releases?
Well, I think if you look at what's been released, I mean, you're talking Trolls World Tour, you're talking small focus films, you know, independent stuff. I know Neon's got the documentary coming out next week that they would have done theatrical. These are small things. There has not been a major release.
There's not
going to
be Fast and Furious,
Mulan.
Right?
No, or Mulan or any of that stuff. It's not going to happen. They're not going to, you know, Scoob is coming out. Warner Brothers is going to give Scoob, but that's the same as, you know, Trolls World Tour. It's a smaller animated film, and it's going to, you know, that's no big deal. You're not going to see Tenet. You're not going to see all these big Black Widow. I think people were just lost when they were saying that's going to happen, because they're not.
The
knee-jerk.
Knee-jerk reaction.
It's totally jerk. And a lot of people are at home going, we want to watch Black Widow. I get it. I know you do. But Disney's not stupid. They're going to hold it until the theaters come back. And they will come back. And they will come back before the year's over. I mean, at some point, you're starting to see people get tired of this right now. I mean, listen, just take the barometer. I don't care what your politics are. People are tired of sitting in their house for 6 weeks. And especially as the weather gets nicer. Out here in L.A., it was crap for, you know, the first month of this thing. But the last 2 weeks, and it's really getting nice. And that's why you're seeing people go to the beaches and people get out of the house. You know, I go for a bike ride right around my neighborhood here, just, you know, in the valley, and there's people everywhere because they're, you know, they got the masks on and all that, but people are just ready to go. And I think once we reopen theaters, people are going to go. They just are.
Hey, Eric, quick question for you. Does this show how close movie theaters are to the cusp of not being successful?
Yes. I mean, they're right on that line, right? They're right on the margin line.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's totally. And the profit, yeah, they're barely making it. And look, AMC is close to, if they didn't declare bankruptcy, that doesn't mean they're going away. I mean, you can obviously declare bankruptcy and stick around. So, you know, the studios need the theaters, right? They need the theaters to succeed. So, obviously, the studios at some point are not going to become a fan of the lockdown either. So, you know, because they're losing a ton of money. And they need AMC to be open. They need Regal. They need down here, you know, in LA, ArcLight. I think you guys have one there in Boston now. You know, they need all those places to open, and so they can get people back in the seats. But again, it's not, the people will not come back to the seats if they reopen and they have a bunch of old movies or movies that are, you know, lame. No one's going to come. You have to come back with a bang and say, Warner Brothers says, let's go ahead. The end of July, we're going to drop Tenet. I promise you that people who even are scared, there's so many people that love Christopher Nolan, that you put him back on the big screen, people are going to come, they're going to show up, and it's going to make $50 million opening weekend. That's on the low end. And you know, that's with coronavirus scares, because people are just going to be like, nope, I want to see the movie. I'm going to take chances, whatever that is, you know, in your mind, take a chance and go to the theater and sit down and watch the new Nolan, because the only way to watch that's in the theater.
Do you think that they'll limit ticket sales? Say only half as many people can go into the theater at one time. I mean, if you have a big IMAX theater, I think if you have a big IMAX theater, that's still pretty decent. But, you know, I hope IMAX can survive this. I don't know how they're doing right now, but they can't be doing that great. But do you think a movie like Tenet is going to be the one, the new Christopher Nolan starring Denzel Washington's son? It was his name, David. Looks off the charts. It looks incredible. And it's shot primarily in IMAX, is that going to be the movie that gets people back in the seats, or is it going to be a Marvel movie, or is it going to be...
It's whoever's first. You know, if they reopen in July, Tenet is still sitting there at the end of July. Warner Brothers hasn't moved it off that date. So therefore, they're ready to go. Yep, they're ready to go on the 17th. So when that hits on the 17th, then that's the movie that's going to get everyone back in the seat. Again, they're going to have to do the social distancing. Is it every 6 feet? I don't know what it is. Whatever they decide to do inside the theater as far as taping off seats and this and that. So clearly, Warner Brothers won't be making quite as much as they would if the pandemic scares were over. But with the pandemic scares, you're still going to make money in that, you know, every 6 seat, you're making more money than you would on VOD because you can – and here's the other half. Right. If you have every 6 seat taped off or whatever, you know, 5 seats and then one and five and one – you're going to sell most of those out because it's tenant. So you're going to have a theater that's sold out at, you know, 1/4 capacity or 1/6 capacity. And then what you're looking at is those are all going to sell out to people that really want to see it. So it's going to make more money over the long term. So it's not going to just make all its money opening weekend. Every day people are like, I can't get any seats. Okay, we'll go on a Tuesday. We'll go on a Wednesday.
Right,
and you see it extend. That's what's going to happen. It was a big movie.
Eric,
it was the right movie.
Is there a little like NFL draft last weekend, 55 million viewers. Is there some thought that if they release one of these big movies while it's on lockdown, they can get a really big video on demand buy? You know, Trolls World Tour is kind of a limited audience.
Yeah.
If they drop something big, is that worth it for them?
They, yes and no. Again, you don't. This is where the theaters come in. This is where the AMCs, the Regals, the ArcLights. That's where. If they do that, then they risk, you know, this becomes more than a bluff. You know, AMC saying we're not going to play Universal movies. If you drop something big, then AMC's like, listen, to punish you, we really aren't going to play your next big movie. And that hurts the theaters. That hurts the studios. So I think that there's a poker game going on, right? So I don't know. You're right. Yes, there is an opportunity, I believe, that if you drop Tenet today, people all buy it at, let's say, 35, let's say 40, let's say 50. There's a lot of people that would do that. But I think you're going to wait a little bit longer because it really does feel like we're just about ready to start coming out of this. You're seeing states, obviously, the Floridas, the Georgia, the Republican-controlled states are opening up. The Democratic states are coming. Listen, California, as much as you hear about everything the way it is out here, there are a lot of people when you talk to them that are ready for this to end. It's not, you know, please don't believe that it's all one way or the other. There's, you know, as left-leaning as California is, there's plenty of people that I talk to off the record who have said things that you would never imagine they say during this time. So, you know, they're out there.
516-387-1866 is the telephone number. If you want to call in, you got a question for Eric about the future of cinema here. It's 516-387-1866. You can also hit us at Daily Shot Talks.
Hey, Eric, just real quick, do you think this will extend release windows? Do you think Tenet will stay in the theater a lot longer than, say, that two-month, three-month period just to give people more chance? Do you think theaters are going to let that happen?
Yes. That's what we talked about when you talk about taping off five seats in one, five, one, because then you're gonna have a full house and there's not going to be as many seat tickets available for a show. So that should... by, you know, extension, extend the length of the films in the theaters because you have, there's not many seats available. So it's going to, they should sell out more.
But then every big tentpole movie has been pushed back. So there's been a little bit of a wiggle room with release dates now. Everything's a little fluid. Hopefully films can stay a little bit longer in the theater. We can all kind of get our chance to see it safely. And this will kind of keep going, kick the can down the road a little bit till, you know, probably early next year. I can see this keep going.
It could. I think by fall we're going to start to see somewhat of a return to normalcy. Maybe, you know, where every second seat's taped off instead of every, you know, five and five one. So I think that by fall, I mean, who knows what's going to happen because then flu season comes back, right? And then we're going to go through all this again. Are we? I don't know. I mean, this is such an unnavigated area, right? We don't even know what's going on. And we don't, we can hypothesize all day about all this stuff, but we really don't. I do believe, though, that if you give the moviegoers a reason to come back to the movie theaters with a movie such as a Tenet, such as Black Widow, obviously a big Marvel movie. They're going to show up. You know, they're going to come back because that's people love going to the movies. That experience is not going to go away. The problem becomes the smaller theaters, the independent theaters that have made no money and they have nothing to fall back on. Some of them are going to close. You're not going to see them reopen. Like, you know, the West Newton right there. I love that place. You know, it's that's a small little theater that's I'm sure was barely making it.
Yeah,
and exactly. they might not be on the other side of this.
Is this going to change the Oscars, the Academy Awards? Is this going to derail this a little bit this year?
It already has. I mean, they said they're going to allow streaming movies that debuted on streaming. Now, that's not every movie. That means movies that were scheduled to come out in theaters and then the studios decided to put them on VOD. Like there's one called. Sometimes, Never, Always, I forget the exact title, but it's a focus feature, and it's a new independent film. They put it directly onto VOD. That's going to be eligible for the Oscars because it was expected to be a theatrical release. They had it focused, had it scheduled to be a theatrical release, and then they moved it to VOD. So that's good. But when it gets to Oscar season, you still have to have it play in theaters for, I believe it's like a week. You have
two
to play at least in theaters in New York or L.A. to
right.
qualify. So I think it really is not going to change. I think one thing that you might see is a lot of studios, if they have a really great film that they think is going to win Oscars, you know, this really amazing film that's evergreen, right? You know, in the news business, something you shoot that you can show any day because it's just, you know, the story's evergreen. That if you have a movie like that, that won't matter if it's released this fall or next fall. They're probably going to go with next fall just to be safe because they know they have a winner. So why are you going to release a really great winning film if you don't know what's going to happen with the Oscars?
Right. Like Fast and the Furious 9, right?
Exactly. F9 is very clearly one.
Yeah. Forefront.
We have it listed on Awards Ace under Best Picture, Director. Let's see, screenplay right now. It's lead. It's supporting.
Eric, I'm sorry. Hold on. Wait. Really quick. Yes or no, Eric? Do you think that stunts should be in the Oscars as a category for nomination?
I respect what they do. I don't know if we need to add more trophies. We just attracted one. We took sound.
Big one. As a sound guy, it hurt.
Sound. Yeah. Okay. I know you will, but we didn't need a mixing and an editing, right? We need one sound. We don't need it. You know, there's not a cinematography.
It's two different categories. Two different sets of people work on it.
I understand, but the average viewer at home who at the end of the day the Oscars are for ratings and people watching the show either get rid of one or
go
don't
into scientific
televise
categories. Do that on the day before or whatever they do with the scientific awards.
Announce it in a tweet.
And how about the shorts too? The three shorts, get rid of those. Oh, you know, I know that's tradition. People don't care.
Documentary short, who cares?
Yes, no one. Listen, the people who vote don't watch. I mean, that's the truth of it. They just pick the winner based on the title or what it's about, right?
That's what I do in my pool.
Get rid of
that's
those.
That's what I do.
Of course you do. Of course, and you probably get it right most of the time.
Eric, I'm curious. What is this all? Obviously, there's some films sitting in the vault that are going to come out. But there hasn't been any production. So what happens when this, you know, when the walls kind of come down on this, what are they, you know, do you think the extended theatrical releases allow some time to continue with production or what, you know, what does the pipeline look like going forward?
Well, they're not, you know, I think they can, if your film's shot, ostensibly you can edit your film, right? You can go into an editing room and trust me, I promise you, I don't have, you know, sources that tell me, but I can just guess that there are people editing films right now in places maybe they shouldn't be editing films, if that makes sense. They're
sure.
Working in, you know, like, let's open up the back door, sneak in, and get this editing in. Because the police are obviously coming around and saying, hey, you, the post-edit place, you guys shut down. So there's probably some of that going on. But if you're shooting something like The Batman with Matt Reeves, he had to shut down production, and they clearly are just at this point just sitting on the footage. He can look at that and start to edit what he has and, you know, look on that. But, you know, all that post stuff, all that work, all the CGI work, that kind of stuff is going to take that's slowing the whole process. So anything that was scheduled to be released, you're seeing getting kicked back 6 months, maybe some things like F9 a year. that was had to be almost ready because it was supposed to be out now, right? So mm-hmm. if it was supposed to come out right now, then it should have been close to being done. So you're just going to sit on a film. But everything that hasn't been produced, right, they're going to have to come back and start cranking up. I mean, they're going to be like, let's go. There's going to be so much activity in this town again, which is good. This town needs that because right now it's hurting. There's so many people employed by the entertainment business that are out. You know, they're not working right now.
Well, I know something like No Time to Die, the new James Bond, that's completely done, and they're out of money. They can't keep working on it because that costs money. You got to pay people to work mm-hmm. on it. So it's essentially done. Mm-hmm. It's sitting there, literally in a can, just waiting for that
yep.
November release date to come around.
And they, you know, now they just work on the marketing campaign a little bit. I'm sure they're obviously having their Zoom meetings and all that stuff. Again, when I ride my bike around, I'm right here in the media district, so I am like probably a 5-minute walk to Disney. Studios, you know, 7-10 minutes over to Warner Brothers, and Universal's right around the corner from that. When you go, you go around here, there's no action. I mean, I go right by the gates all the time, and there's, you know, usually it's people and cars and everyone walking in, all the work, nobody. It's completely dead. So it's obviously, like I said, it's a downtime for everybody. They and once this comes back and they give the green light, then people are going to come back. There are some that say things have to change. When they shoot, they're not going to have all these people piled in next to each other. Again, I think that's all going to be short term. People are going to at first be hesitant, and then they realize, hey, we're around other people and we're not dying. Okay, let's go ahead. It's just that's human behavior. So I think that it'll get back to normal faster than everyone thinks. I think like, we're never going to shake hands again. Really? I don't think so. I think that's going to change.
I don't buy it.
It's not going to happen tomorrow.
I don't buy it.
No, it's not going to happen. Listen, the first couple weeks or month, but we all fall back into our habits. So in like 2 months or a month, you'll be like, yeah, let's go back to shaking hands. Some people won't. Fine. All good.
That's fine. Some people
won't. Choice.
Yeah. But Eric, I'm a hugger, fist bumper, high fiver. Like that's life, man. That's how we live life. We're not going to give that up. We're just not.
If you're not wearing a mask, don't come near me.
There are those people. I go on my bike ride sometimes. I forgot my mask, and someone's looking at me like, "What's that guy doing?" I'm like, "Oh God, come on, seriously."
Exactly.
But I'll tell you, it's half and half. When I go out, I mean, it's some people have masks on, some people don't. And this is California. It's 80 degrees here today. It couldn't be a nicer day. So I think when you start to see the weather turn, man, when the weather starts turning for Boston, New York, all that stuff, it's going to be – you're seeing it out here. You guys, it's going to all change. People are like, listen, man, we're coming out. It's over.
So real quick, Eric, at Eric Weber, E-R-I-C-K Weber on Twitter to follow the awards ace. I want to – we got about 8 minutes left in the show, and I just want to pivot to a non-movie-related topic, but I'd love to keep you because I know you're a big Ohio State fan, right?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Big Ohio State fan. So big news yesterday, NASCAR announced they're kind of the leader. May 17th at Darlington, mm-hmm. South Carolina, they're gonna put cars back mm-hmm. on the track and race. No fans in the seats, but they'll be live mm-hmm. on Fox TV. They're going to put a schedule out.
Smart.
You know, MLB, NHL, everybody's working on it. Are we all ready to get some live sports back, even if it means no fans? I'm curious what you think about that.
Yeah, for sure. Let's look at the draft, like you said. Was it how many million? Did you say 55?
50.
Was that really 50? The number? Oh, my
55
God.
55 million over the weekend.
Listen, I watched it. It was fantastic. I mean, we were all sitting around. There's nothing else to do. I mean, that's a captive audience. Good for NASCAR. NASCAR needs help because, I used to follow that sport pretty heavily when I was down in Daytona because I was in Orlando. So, obviously, Daytona 500 and the 4th of July race, I went to those. The sport was bigger. That was back in like the mid 2000s. And then it kind of started to lose steam. Have you ever been to Darlington, by the way?
I haven't been to Darlington, man. I would love to.
No, listen, so Darlington, I was in Charlotte doing local news, and we went to Myrtle Beach. And one of the ways to Myrtle Beach from Charlotte is very close to Darlington. So, listen, I said, we're going through Darlington. I kid you not, it's just like the Green Bay, like Lambeau Field. It is a NASCAR track in this tiny hick town. It's crazy. Like, you know, Green Bay, tiny little town, and here's Lambeau Field. It's just like that. You're like, what? That's the NASCAR. What? So it's got its, you know, the history of that place. I love it. They need to get eyes on that sport again. So it's a good call. There's no stand. There's no fans there. Good. You're not doing anything there. And these guys are out there, you know, doing what they love to do. So I have no problem. I think it's
like a no-brainer.
They're going to be big. Mm-hmm.
Well,
the interesting
thing about it is, and I'm a resident NASCAR nerd, so I think they had a great season started. The Daytona 500 was huge this year. The ratings were up. obviously the drama with Ryan Newman and his crash and him, frankly, not only surviving but being fine. He's actually been cleared to race. He'll be racing at Darlington back in his car. You know, I think this is a great opportunity for them to lead the way. But one of the things that's interesting is you got 39 teams. Each team will have 16 people at the racetrack plus NASCAR officials. I think the numbers for this start to mirror what you might need to have to play, you know, an NBA game or even an NHL game. You got obviously rosters, you got coaches and trainers, you got officials. You know, you're gonna get well into the hundreds of people pretty quick. But I think if it goes well for NASCAR, then you're going to start to see these other sports, I hope, start to move forward as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously, NBA, you heard about looking at Disney World, right? Did you hear that?
Awesome. No. Well, I'm a big Orlando. I'm an Orlando
guy. That's a great idea.
Anything that's good for Orlando.
Well, because I think they obviously have the hotel rooms. They have courts there. I think they are already ready to go televised because right there they have all the sports complexes at Disney World. So they're talking about bringing the entire league to Orlando, playing the games there without fans, and the players just stay in the hotels, and that you get your games back. And there's just it's just like a tournament almost, but every night the guys are just moving from place to place playing games.
Right. They were thinking about with baseball, just playing in an Arizona situation, just having everybody come down there, stay in hotel. Listen, if baseball was on the television right now, I'd be watching it all the time. It seems like a no-brainer.
I love Cactus League idea. If we could go Grapefruit League, Cactus League, I actually think that'd be pretty cool.
We just want to get back to normal. At the end of the day, we're all talking about concepts of getting to return to normal, whether it's going back to the movie theater, whether it's going to watch sports, whatever it is. It's feeling like life has returned to what we knew, you know, back in February, March, and before all this happened. So it's a tragedy. We know that obviously it's a pandemic. We have all these issues that we have to deal with. But at the end of the day, we have to get back to some semblance of normal. And if we have to get there soon. It's not good for human beings to be caged up inside. And then someone will say, well, of course, it's not good to go outside and get COVID. I get that. But the point is eventually we have to go back out. We cannot live in our houses for the rest of our lives. That's not the way I live my life, I can tell you that.
No, it is definitely not. It's not happening for me. I guarantee you. I would much rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead, as Jimmy Buffett would say.
No question. Yeah, no question about it. I mean, this isn't even a life. The life is when I love it, going to movies, getting out, meeting people, especially during award season. We go to parties every night, open bar. I mean, I want that to return. Let's go.
We might have to come visit during award season.
You can take the show on the road.
You should.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, come out here during award season because it is crazy. We go from multiple parties, like usually two a night, and you go, let's say, to the premiere of Bombshell, and then later you're up at the House on the Hills, and you're talking to Todd Phillips about Joker. I mean, that's literally how award season goes.
Wow.
That is awesome. That is incredible. Hey, Eric, man, it is great to catch up with you. I hope that we could do this again as the train starts going down the track and you start to get some more insight about what's going on out there. Would love to do it again.
Yeah, no, I'm down for that, guys. It was great talking to you again. It's been too long.
Thanks so much, man.
Awesome.
I really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Man. Be well out there. We're all, you know, particularly as he said in the Northeast, we're all stuck in this crappy weather and everything else. He's out in L.A., 80 degrees. Life is good. We got 2 minutes left in the show. Dan, any takeaway here? Final thought?
No, I thought that was a great great interview. Eric's obviously in touch with what's going on in Hollywood, so very informative. Nothing to add.
Cam, how about you? Cam, you got a final thought?
I want baseball and I want movies back. That's pretty much it.
And you're willing to wear a mask to get them.
I will wear a mask at a baseball game, absolutely, and just pull it down, shovel a hot dog in there, pull it back up. I'll wear a mask at a movie theater, in an IMAX theater.
You could cut a hole in it for your Dodger dog.
Yeah, just underneath, do a little popcorn. If we could get like masks that have straws built into them or something like that, so I can drink my sodas. We all want to, like Eric says, we want some normalcy. So the best way to do that is getting some of the old staples back, baseball, NBA, NASCAR, going to the movies, going to the beach, whatever it takes. I think we have to walk a line a little bit. Let's be smart about it, but let's find ways to get back to normal.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I tell you I'd like to see, and I know SportsCenter on ESPN with Scott Van Pelt did a little bit of this back in March when all this started, but for college and high school athletes who, particularly seniors, lost the last part of their winter season or the spring season, all the sports that got missed, I hope there's some chance, you know, in different areas as different teams come back online, to take some opportunities to give those scholar athletes some recognition, because I think they lost out a lot. Daily Shot Media is live at Daily Shot Talks on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube. Don't forget to catch up with us next week. I'm sure we'll be talking about COVID and getting back, we hope, to normal.
Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it.